See, what was made clear in the previous class, when we analyze these panchakoshas using this method of analyzing the panchakoshas, panchakosha prakriya, any serious student definitely has understanding. We, in analyze every layer of personality, we can understand being a non-self, anatma. If you understand it is a product, it is time-bound, it is inert, it is of the nature of inertness, subject to change. Therefore, anatma, we arrive at it. And not only we shift the I sense cognitively from each layer of personality, we also resolve that individuality in corresponding totality at every level. First, we shift the I sense from Annamaya, then Annamaya Shariram is cognitively resolved in Samashti Annamaya. Then the total Annamaya will be resolved in Pranamaya. That is Hiranyagarbha. And then Vyashti Prana is resolved in Samashti Prana. And then total Pranamaya will be resolved in Manomaya. Vyashti Manaha will be resolved in Samashti Manaha. And Samashti Manaha will be resolved in Vijnanamaya. Vyashti Vijnanamaya will be resolved in corresponding total Vijnanamaya. Then total Vijnanamaya will be resolved in Anandamaya. And then Avidya will be resolved in Maya. And the whole Maya will be finally resolved in Atma. As a non-different, non-countable Mithya Prapancha. I told you very, very clearly, the power of the Vastu reality manifest is Jnanam. The power of reality unmanifest is Ajnanam. Ajnanam is not absence of knowledge. Ajnanam is the name given to the power of unmanifest power of reality. And for which the source of the power is pure Jnanam, pure Chaitanyam. The source of the power, the powerful, is the pure knowledge, pure consciousness, Chaitanyam. And this power unmanifest is Ajnanam, Avidya, the power Maya, the power manifest is Jnanam. And the whole Jagat is what? Everything which enjoys the status of being existent as an object of knowledge is nothing but manifestation of knowledge, the reflection of the consciousness, illumination of consciousness. So there's only Jnanam. Whole Jagat is Jnanam only. Bhagavataha Vyakta Shaktireva Eshaha Prapanchaha. Kaha Ayam Prapanchaha. What is this universe? This universe is nothing but manifestation of the power of reality. Bhagavataha Shaktehe Vyaktihi. No, Vyaktata. Shaktehe Vyaktata Ayeva Prapanchaha. The whole universe is manifestation of power of the reality, which is knowledge. The whole Jagat is Jnanam only. Now we cannot destroy ignorance. We only cognitively resolving the Ajnanam. Now, from the standpoint of when we understand Ajnanam is only a name given to the unmanifest power of knowledge. And this unmanifest power of Jnanam at total level is known as Maya, doesn't have independent existence outside of the reality. Therefore, this power is what? Power is reality. It doesn't have independent existence. It's not countable. Therefore, there's no Ajnanam. You resolve Ajnanam as the power of the reality, the inseparable, non-distensible, power of reality. Ajnanam. Ajnanam is jnanam. Like stillness is water. Ajnanam is jnanam. Jnanam is also jnanam. The manifest power is also jnanam. Wave is water. Stillness also is water. Unmanifest power is also jnanam. Manifest power also is jnanam. Where is ajnanam? There is no ajnanam. There is only jnanam. And therefore, after negating the five layers also, because every layer of personality is objective experience that analyzes and negates, after having negated, what cannot be negated is the experiencer. And here as an experiencer, and we wait for another new experience of something called Atma. That is where we fail. And the Shastram says, come on, stop. No more analysis. No more objectification. No more experience. Now every experience is Atma. And what is that? Because of whose presence experience is possible is the experiencer. And don't go search for the eyes and nose and heads and legs of experiencer. There is no experiencer other than the subtlest abstract reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, pure knowledge. So experiencer is knowledge. Experiencer, the knower experiencer, I, the knower experiencer is what is the abstract formless reality, and which is of the nature of knowing, therefore implied by the term jnanam. I told you many, why does reality know? Because janati iti jnanam, because knowing is the swarupam. There is no that, because that is what is vastu, that is all pervasive, therefore it is only implied by the term atma. I think we have seen all these things last class. Anyway. Okay. Now we have to move on to the next verse. I just wanted to say where we are. And I also made very clear, the subject can never become the object of knowledge. The object can never become the subject. Absolutely, not relatively, absolutely I am saying. Like illuminated light can never become the illumined light. The opaque world of objects can never become the illuminated. Therefore, subject is always subject. Object is always the object. The object comes and goes. The object of experience comes and goes. The subject of experience is always there permanently. But the subject of experience, whenever the object of experience is there, subject enjoys the status of being a subject, the knower. When the object resolves, subject is without the status of being the knower. When the world shines and the knower is knower, the standpoint of the known enjoys the status of being the knower. When the world becomes unmanifest, the knower doesn't go anywhere. Knower continues to be there, but knower is without having the status of being the knower. The knower is, but the status is of being the knower is not there. Therefore, only in keeping with the world becoming manifest and unmanifest, the reality obtaining in him of pure consciousness, enjoy pure knowledge, has the status of being the knower. Otherwise, there's no knower. And you are that knower. The I, which is shifted from every layer of personality, finally has to be resolved in non-negatable knower consciousness, witness consciousness. Like how, when I say you have to resolve the wave form and name wave in the water, when I say you understand there is no wave independently without the water, waves on only appearance of the water. Similarly, I is only subtlest manifestation of appearance of the pure knowledge, the formless knowledge. There's no I other than the knowledge. So cognitively, you resolve the I, the knower in consciousness. You have to say, I, the knower, am pure knowledge, pure consciousness, and which is the all-pervasive, all-knowing, almighty, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient reality, which also has the status of being the Lord, Ishvara. Now we'll see the 14th verse. Madhuryadhiswabhavanam anyatrasvagunarpinam swasmintadarpanapeksha no na chastyanyadarpakam swasmintadarpanapeksha no na chastyanyadarpakam madhuryadhiswabhavanam anyatrasvagunarpinam swasmimstadarpanapeksha nona chastyanyadarpakam. Some verses are very simple, nice ones. This is a beautiful verse, but it sounds a little as more sandhis. So what has been revealed, that there is not this you arrive at the all pervasive only truth of the whole jagat as your own surupam, and that too as a surupam of the knower, subject of experience, subject of the knowledge, and then you have to claim that atma as your own self. Therefore, it's made very clear. So the knower is what? Knower is ever non-knowable. Ever non-knowable is the knower. Knower is the non-knowable. And the known is the knowable. The knower can never be known. Therefore, the non-knowable is the knower. And the knowable is the known. Therefore, the knowable can never become the known if the unknowable knower is not there. The non-knowable, unknowable knower is not there. The knowable can never become the known. If the non-knowable, அறியப்பட முடியாத அறிகின்ற பொருள் இல்லை என்றால், அறியப்பட முடியாத அறிகின்ற பொருள் இல்லை என்றால், அறியப்படக்கூடிய பொருள் அறியப்பட முடியாது. If the non-knowable, unknowable knower is not there, the knowable known can never become the known. Very simple. Without the knower, the known will be non-existent. For something to have to be there, enjoying the status of being the known presupposes the knower. So this is the very, very important, unique and concept. What the Sanskrit word you saw in the previous verse? Agnyeyaha natu asataya. Therefore, now Vidyaranya Swami, in this 14th verse, presents an illustration to drive home this idea. Madhuryadi swabhavat swabhavanam anyatra swagunarpinam swasmim sadarpanapeksha nona chastyanya darpakam. See, madhuryadi swabhavanam. Madhuryam means sweetness, noun. Madhuryam means sweetness. So, sugar is of the nature of sweetness. Sugar is of the nature of sweetness. Sugar is not, sugar doesn't have, you know, being sweet. Sugar is not sweetened. Sugar is of the nature of sweetness. But this sugar, which is swarupam, okay, madhurya swabhavam. The sugar is of, has this swabhavam, its own nature of being sweet. Madhuryadi swabhavat, madhurya swabhavat, anyatra, when this sugar is added to any sweets, the so-called laddu, jalebi, all these sweets which you eat, in rasagulla or whatever it is, all the sweets are sweet. Okay, anyatra sugana arpi. Okay, all the sweets are sweet. Why? Because of their sweetness is not their own. They have borrowed sweetness. The flour which you use to make sweets. When you use suji, you know, all semolina to make kesari, ashira, nina, it's halwa you make. Nina makes very good kesari. She makes very good semolina cakes also. Every, you know, so when they make sweets, the semolina, the water, the water stuff you use to make a sweet, nothing has sweetness of its own. But at last, they all have sweetness. How? They have borrowed the sweetness from the sugar added to them. Now everything becomes sweet. Not only sugar is sweet, sugar is added to other ingredients. They're used in sweets. The whole thing is called sweet. Before a sweet is made, you call what, semolina, or this is ghee, this is water, these are all nuts. You keep them separately, you get different names. But after, when you mix it, cook them with the sweet, and all of them together is known by one word, sweet. Which means, things which, with ingredients, which are not of the nature of sweetness. Now they become sweet, borrowing this sweetness belonging to the sugar. Until amazing. Vidyaranya Swami really should study. You know why? He's not somebody who was somewhere, some other Janma, no? He was here as Acharya of Sringeri Matha. An amazing scholar. He could get all good examples like this. I mean, we can relate to the examples. Which means all the sweets we eat are sweetened by sugar. The sweetened sweets are not of the nature of sweetness. But they are sweet now. So the eatables which we eat, which are actually non-sweet ingredients, are sweetened by sugar. And anything we eat, if you add salt, not only sweet, so smadhuriyadi adishabda is there. So the upma, same semolina, by itself doesn't have salty taste. If semolina is also salty, we can't eat semolina. But to make it tasty, what do we add? Salt. The salt has the nature of being salty, is the nature of the salt. But when it is anything, whatever we cook food, we cook and eat, nothing has saltness of its own. Of course, some slight saltness, but not the rice cooked, the cooked rice, cooked semolina, or even broken wheat doesn't have saltness of its own. So it also borrows the saltness of the salt. The salt and sugar. Sugar is of the nature of sweetness. Salt is of the nature of saltiness. But the ingredients which are non-sweet, non-salty, become salty and sweet when associated with sugar and salt. Therefore he says, madhuriyadi, madhurya, lavana, adi. You can take this, now even tamarind. Suppose, when you cook the rice, and you simply keep the rice, doesn't have sour taste. But when you squeeze the lime juice, lime is of the nature of sourness. You don't need to add anything to lime juice to make it sour. But you add lime juice to the rice becomes, life has sour taste. So you can say, there are certain things which has its own swakiya swarupam, its own nature. So being sour is the nature of this lime juice. Being salty is the nature of the salt. Being sweet is the nature of the sugar. But these ingredients, we don't need to add anything to them to become salty, to become sweet and all. But when they're added to other things become sweet or salty or sour. So madhuriyadi swabhavanam anyatra swaguna arpinam. And they also what? They contribute, they transfer their nature to the other objects, other ingredients. The non-sweet semolina added to sugar becomes a sweet semolina in the form of a laddu or kesari. So a non-sour white rice becomes a sour lemon rice, you know, when added. So unsalted butter becomes salted butter when salt is added. What I want to say here, therefore, what was not before sweet or salty or sour becomes sour or salty or sweet afterwards when it is added. So, ingredients which have their own swabha nature, they swaguna arpi, they also transfer their nature to other objects. Swasmin tad arpana peksha. Swasmin, in everything, in sugar or in salt or in lemon juice, I'm only giving three examples. I give three. Okay, mention this. Swasmin tad arpana apeksha. So for the sweet, if it has to give its sweetness to the semolina, what does the sugar do? To convert the non-sweet semolina into a sweet semolina in kesari or laddu, to convert, you know, a non-sweet into a sweet, what does the sugar do? What effort does the sugar make? Swabhavat, okay, by its own nature. Sugar being sugar, sugar having the nature of being sweet, sweetness, okay, effortlessly it sweetens everything. Effortlessly sweetens everything. sugar is not sweetened by anything. Sugar is not sweetened by anything. But sugar is sweetness by itself. Whereas anything sweetened is not really sweet. Anything sweetened is not really sweet. Sugar is the only sweet, only of the nature of sweetness. And here we have to, this point must be very clear. There's a logical derivation here. The sugar which doesn't have a borrowed sweetness, which is of the nature of sweetness, which is not sweetened by anything else, has to be a non-sweet object. See, sweet sugar is the sweetener. Okay, there's no English word. I'm just adding. That which makes everything sweet is what? Subject of sweetness. And the several, etc., the sweetened are what? Objects of sweetness. Sweetened. Sugar is not sweetened. Sugar is the one which sweetens. Semolina is not sweet, is sweetened. Therefore, what we say, the sweetener sugar is not the sweetened object. Which means sugar can never become the object of sweetening. Object of being sweetened, isn't it? Sugar is always this of the nature of sweetness. Sugar is this original sweetener. Actually speaking, sugar does not make everything sweet. That which makes everything sweet is the sugar. Sugar need not be, cannot be made sweet by anything else. But the semolina, etc., which do not have sweetness of their own, they become sweetened by the sugar. So the sweetening sugar can never become the sweetened non-sweet semolina. The non-sweet semolina can never become the sweetener sugar. Is it clear? Subject can never become the object. Object can never become the subject. That is the idea. So it's a very beautiful concept. He wants to make understand. And why does sugar make semolina sweet? I'm using only semolina just to make it easy. Because everybody knows. Because if people in India know, people, Bengalis know, Gujaratis know, everybody knows kesari. You say shira, halwa, kesari, different words you use. All of us know. Simple sweet. Very easy. Easiest. Yeah, I also know, so I can talk about it. Non-complicating sweet. Very simple. Boiled water, put the shira and add sugar. Finished. Add salt, upma. Add sugar, kesari. That's all. Some ingredients vary. There are ginger, chili, and here raisins and nuts. There ginger oil, here ghee. Finish. That's the only difference. So, what I want to say here, the sugar alone sweetens. Not by an action, by its very nature. And the non-sweet objects are sweetened. So the sweetener sugar can never become the sweetened semolina. The non-sweet sweetened semolina can never become the sweetener sugar. And that's the example he gives. This is the logic, okay? This is the logical derivation from this. Madhuryadi swabhavat anyatra swaguna arpinam swasmintra adarpana apeksha. There's no will in this giving sweetness to other objects, things, is not an action, is very swarupam by nature. Nacha asti anyat arpakam. Nacha asti anyat arpakam. Other than sugar, there is no giver of sweetness. Arpakaha anyaha nasti. So that which gives the sweetness to the non-sweet objects, there's no other sweetener which gives sweetness to other non-sweet ingredients other than the sugar. Oh, a question comes. Who is the sweetener? Who makes this savarna sweet? What is it which makes savarna sweet? Who is this sweetener? Who is this sweetener? What is this sweetener? What? Oh, there's no sweetener other than the sugar. Sugar is not the sweetener, but there's no sweetener other than the sugar. You put sugar in the semolina, make kesari. Oh, how come the non-sweet semolina has become sweet? Who made it sweet? Who gave sweetness to this? You search for it. There's no giver of sweetness to semolina other than the sugar. Sugar is not the sweetener, but the sweetener is sugar. Why? Sugar does not say, I'm giving you sweetness. Okay? Giving sweetness is what? By its nature. Because being sweet, sweetness, it is swarupam of the sugar. Therefore, contributing sweetness to other object houses is what? The nature of the sugar. That which sweetens the non-sweet semolina is the sugar. Therefore, it says, nacha asti anyat arpakam. The offerer of sweetness, nothing else is there as the offerer of sweetness to the non-sweet objects other than the sugar. Arpakam means that which offers, that which distributes, that which gives. Nacha asti anyat arpakam. Anyat arpakam nasti. And there's no other giver of sweetness. There are no other bestower of sweetness. There's no bestower of giver of offerer of sweetness other than the sugar. But the sugar is not the offerer of sugar, sweetness. Sugar is not the giver of sweetness. But there's no giver of sweetness in the sugar. Sugar is not the giver of sweetness. Why? Because giving sweetness is not its action. Yes, Swarupa. You search for who is the giver of sweetness then? Like there is no giver of sweetness other than the sugar. The Swarupa. Which means, why can't we say sugar is the giver of sweetness? No, we can't say because sugar does not make effort to make semolina sweet. There's no action. Giving sweetness, offering sweetness is not the action on the part of the sugar. It is swarupam of the sugar. Therefore, he says, anyat arpakam nasti. There is no other giver of sweetness. And swasmin tad arpanai apeksha. So that giving the sweetness to other things is very nature of the sugar. So, this reality, abstract, formless reality, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, arrived at as the swarupam of the knower, you ask, who is the experiencer? What is the experiencer? No, because of which experience is possible. So like that, we ask until after negating the Anandamaya Kosha, you can't, nothing to be experienced. And what you experience is only Ajnanam and Sukhavritti. And you ask, who is that? Who is the experiencer? What is the experiencer? Who is the knower of Ajnanam? Who is the knower of the Sukham? Who is the experiencer? We ask. Okay. There's no experiencer other than the reality. And that reality is not the experiencer, but there's no experience other than the reality. The reality is not the knower. Reality is not even the knower. But there's no knower other than reality. But we say, so knower is actually the reality. And we say from the standpoint of the known, we see, understand the reality as the being the knower. The standpoint of reality, you can't say reality is the knower. Because knowing is not an action. Reality is of the nature of knowing. Therefore, jnana swarupatvat jnana shabdena suchyate. Jnanam brahma. Chaitanyam brahma. Chideka sada jyotate hridi me hridi. In Subramanya Bhujangam, Shankaracharya says, Chideka me hridi jyotate. In my own mind, always the shines reality, Bhagavan in the form of pure knowledge. Therefore, this is how we arrive at it. Now we understand. What is the logic here? The knower, even though reality implied by the term consciousness or pure knowledge is not the knower. And you arrive at the reality in terms of its nature of knowing as the surupam of the knower. In your search for the knower, you have to say there's no knower other than the reality. You're cognitively resolving the knower status in the reality. This is called Adi Bhautika Pratibandha. We have now Pratibandhas, Adhyatmika, Tapaha, Adi Daivika, Adi Bhautika. Now I have Adi Daivika and also Adi Bhautika. Both are around me now. At least because of me, you also have this. Anyway. At least it's clear, isn't it? So the knower is Atma. Now we say, when I said sugar is of the nature of sweetness, sugar never become the sweetened, and the sugar is not even the sweetener. But from the standpoint of sweetened, there's no sweetener other than the sugar. Similarly, Atma is not the knower. Atma can never become the known. The knower Atma can never become the known. But then there's no knower other than the Atma. The standpoint of the known can never become the knower. Knower can never become the known. It's all for our enhancement of our clarity. The simple thing is, subject can never become the object. Object can never become the subject. That's the main teaching. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.